Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Our next guest I'm excited to have is John S. Haywood, a distinguished professor of economics and director of the Master of Human Resources and Labor Relations Program at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Let me tell you a little bit about him. On Thursday night, nearly 150 auto workers hit the picket line.
1,000.
Oh, I'm so sorry. 150,000. Thank you, Jonathan. On Thursday night, nearly 150,000 auto workers hit the picket line, marking the latest high-profile strike of 2023. Now, I'm just going to insert a little bit. I have been a part of a union. My father was a grievance man for a union in the city where I grew up and was born. And it means a lot to me when unions are out there using their voices, even though the voices may sound silent to some. I am so grateful that they are out there hitting the picket line and, you know, they're marking the latest high-profile strike of 2023. Now, the work stoppage from the United Auto Workers now sits next to stoppages in national industries and local business alike. But is a historically busy year for strikes, or does it just seem that way with our 24-hour news cycle? To go through this particularly active summer of union solidarity, as well as where it stacks up to the past, we welcome University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee Distinguished Professor of Economics John S. Haywood on the show tonight via the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. How are you, sir? I hope I can call you John.
Please do, Gerald. It's my pleasure to be here. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. Okay, I am a union girl inside and out. I get excited when the talk is starting. I get excited when people want to join, and then there are those who say, I don't want anything to do with unions. I love talking about it. I love seeing how people are doing better because of these unions. So as you look at the history of it, you know far more than I do. But what is happening right now? What is the reason for it? And I am not quite sure on that answer.
Well, you're right. In your sort of lead up, you suggested that it might well be an unusual summer. And I think it probably is, at least by relatively recent standards. Both the press and commentators have called it the hot labor summer. And now with the UAW strike in the early fall, maybe it'll also be a hot labor fall. So just the two major aspects, I suppose. One is increased organizing, the creation of unions, mm-hmm. and the other is increased militancy, the strikes and near strikes that we've seen. Really many, UPS just narrowly averted a strike. Dock workers on the West Coast, fast food workers in California, the actors and the screenwriters and hotel workers. It's really been quite an active summer.
It's been very active, but is there more to come? Are we already in the center of it and we're starting to slow down? Or do you think this is something that's going to last for a while and even more unions are going to get on board?
Well, I think some of that will be determined by how some of the strikes that I've described that are ongoing end up. So I think to some extent it's hard to predict. I think there were a series of good reasons why it was a hot summer. Some of them are economics. The economics things that come to mind are, first of all, inflation. We've had a lot of inflation, and so the value of real wages and contracts has gone down, and so workers were trying to catch up. The second thing is the unemployment rate is very low, so it's a good time to strike because it's hard to get replaced. Mm. So those basic economic issues kind of make this a sort of salient time to take action.
forgive me for interrupting. I do know that there are so many young people in the ages of, I would say, 25 to 30 that are really paying attention. It was a time when I could talk to my nieces and nephew when they were 21, 23 years old, and they would just go, oh, those union things, whatever. We don't even need to know about that. But now it's different. We are starting to see young people between the ages of 21 and 29 that are asking more questions about unions and why it's important and why did it ever have to, you know, become a thing. And as we talk about it, or as our parents sit and talk with their children, we start to find out more and more. Yet we don't have more of them, particularly the very young group. They are the ones out there trying to figure out, should I get involved in unions? And I'm the one screaming, yes, please. But we are not getting those numbers that I expected.
Well, I think there are a couple things going on, Carolyn, that are worth thinking about. One is the traditional industries that are unionized, manufacturing, auto workers, UPS, dock workers that we've been discussing, that these don't have an awful lot of young workers in them, frankly. Just the nature of the tenure and the demand for workers means that those industries skew old. So the way in which you're going to get young people involved in unions is probably with new unions starting. And that's a very difficult business. Mm-hmm. But it is happening to some extent. I mean, all over the country, we've heard about the Starbucks that have tried to unionize mm-hmm. and have indeed had successful votes, even though there are no new first contracts. In my home city of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, our local coffee chain called Collectivo successfully had a union drive and got a successful first contract. And I don't suppose there's anyone in that union older than about 30. So there are some bright spots for younger workers and unionization. It's happening, but it's a slow process.
I remember being at a restaurant in Philadelphia. My daughter was at the University of Pennsylvania. And I'm sitting there enjoying my lunch. It was very few people. And all of a sudden, a woman comes in, and she sits behind me in another booth. And there's one man sitting there, and she's quietly trying to encourage him to join the union. I had never heard a conversation like that before. And I felt really honored to be a part of it. And I kept trying to turn around a little bit to watch. But now there are those, it seems like there are bigger numbers that don't want a union. Is that how you're seeing things right now?
Oh, I'm not sure. I think it's hard to tell. I mean, there's no question that unions have been on the back foot for a long time. Mm-hmm. The share of the workforce that's unionized has declined continuously for many years now. Whether that's going to turn around, it's a little hard to say. But there are some brighter spots for people like you who would like to see that resurgence. One thing is that Americans are at a, frankly, an all-time high for feeling that unions play an important role in the economy. The Gallup poll asks these questions annually, and really the last few years have been the highest that measure has ever been. And I think there's a sense that unions can, for all their faults, can play a role in creating a fairer economy and redistributing income toward workers in a way that people think is valuable. How much success they'll have and how big this growth might be, I can't predict. But I don't think it's all negative.
I don't think it's all negative either. And I'm starting to hear people, not just from Wisconsin, but even in other states as I'm traveling. You know, you just start a conversation. It's amazing how, what I find is when I'm at the airport or, I'm waiting for a cab or for an Uber, you know, I find a way to start a conversation with someone. And it's quite remarkable if the word union is in that conversation that I just started. Someone's going to get up and leave pretty quickly. And I kept asking myself, why does that happen? Is it that people don't want to talk about unions? Do they feel like, no? In fact, I remember many years ago, I've been doing this on the radio for about 25 years. And I remember having to talk to people about unions. One guy would call me here on the radio many times, and he would say, Miss Steele, I make way money than any of you people make at the station. So, no, I don't need to be a part of a union. I said, oh, wait a minute. Let's talk about how your the money that you're making has come to be. It's because of unions, right? So just trying to have that conversation was really difficult, and that man was quite angry with me. And I said to him, I said, if you are angry with me, I understand, and I receive that. However, please look on through the lens that I'm looking through, and I will look through the lens you're looking through. And hopefully we can find a settling, you know? So
certainly.
When you know, yeah. When we know that this is a possibility and there are other people out there saying unions are awful and all you people need to get away from me, how do we start the conversation again and say, no, let us tell you the good things about unions?
Well, at least legally, the U.S. system is set up so that every non-union workplace can potentially become a unionized workplace. And so it really does involve those conversations in which you can convince enough of your colleagues and peers that a union will be beneficial to you. And I think it will always be the case that some people will not find a union beneficial to them because they're very independent and they don't want to be part of sort of a group. They don't want the majority to tell them what to do. They want as much autonomy as they can get. But other people will say, by joining together, we can create a united front and we can negotiate and make our workplace better. And importantly, you use this word, and I think it's a critical one. We can give voice to our employer about what's important to us.
And we have to make sure that we understand what that means, that it's important to us. We can't just let it sit and no one understand what that really means, because it's life-changing when your family has union support. It's life-changing. And I don't think enough of us, even those that have been in the union for many, many years, decades even, sometimes I wonder, are they fading? Are they saying, nope, I don't even have to talk about it anymore. Let's just hurry up and I'll get to my pension. Let's hurry up and get to that. Even pensions are changing and reforming how we're doing things. In the changes that you're seeing with all of the unions right now, what is there one thing that you would say all of those unions have something in common?
Well, I think America's unions are incredibly diverse, but I do think the thing they have in common is the sense that they can accomplish more together than they could separately. And so it is a question of forming a united front, coming to a consensus among yourselves about what it is that would make your workplace better, whether it's changing the work rules, simply increasing the earnings, or as you say, and is often very, very important to unions, things like pensions and health insurance. And it is certainly the case that on average, workers who have unions have better pensions and health insurance. So while there's not one thing that all unions push toward, the general idea that we're going to get together and we're going to talk about what will make our particular union members feel more a part of this place and feel more appropriately compensated for what we contribute, I think that's probably what's in common, just that broad desire to work together.
Broad desire to work together. I think it should be on a t-shirt and a sweatshirt. How about a coffee mug? I can do that. My goodness, John S. Haywood, so happy to have you join us tonight, and I hope I can call on you again.
You certainly can. My pleasure to talk with you.
My pleasure as well. Thank you, sir.
You bet.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.